And Janet, I thought you were going to preach my sermon. Where'd you go? Man, I broke out into a sweat up here. Turn to Isaiah 55. Women preachers. Boy, I'm telling you. I preached on you this morning. Wasn't that neat, though, folks? I tell you, that just blesses my heart. These folks worked hard for these master's degrees and a lot of time and a lot of study and a lot of preparation, a lot of papers and a lot of getting up early and staying up late. And it's just an honor to be able to share with them in their success and in the Lord's blessings. Well, we thank the Lord for it. All right, Isaiah 55, please. I want to read two verses to you, verse 10 and verse 11. And since Janet already preached on verse 11, I guess I'll just preach on verse 10 tonight. I don't know. Actually, her sermon was better than mine, if you want to know the truth. Verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, the harvest of the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, what a blessing tonight. And Lord, we thank you for what these folks have done. And Lord, we thank you for Pastor Campbell and the blessing that he has been to all of our hearts for all these years that he's worked here at Open Door. And Lord, I thank you for the friendship that you've allowed us to have and the fellowship. And Lord, thank you for his wisdom, as on so many occasions through the last 10 years, I've gone to John and asked for his advice, asked what he thought about an issue. And Lord, thank you for the way you've used him. And he's been an encouragement to me, and I know to multitudes of people connected to this church. And now, Lord, as we turn our attention for a little while to the Word of God, I just pray that you will bless the thoughts that we have before us tonight. May the Lord Jesus be clearly seen in this message tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have 5 minutes to eight right now. And so if you'll give me about 20 minutes or so, I'll give you this truth that I have for you tonight. It would normally take me about 40 minutes to preach this, to give you everything that I have. Thank you, brother. I'll pay you after the service. Thank you. But I want to share a couple of things with you. I preached to you this morning on the authority of the Scripture. In that sermon, I told you that you could trust your Bible. Folks, I sat this afternoon and fussed at myself about four or five times because I did not feel that I adequately drilled it into you that you can trust your Bible. I just don't know how else to say it. You can trust your Bible.
Amen.
"Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." And we learned this morning that God has promised that he would preserve his word, and he has. You have the preserved word of God preserved for you in the English-speaking world in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said that I have to have the word in order to have life. I have to have it. And so I don't think God would hide his word from us. I don't think the Lord would require us to have the Word of God in order to have life and then hide it from us. may just have to go out and dig to find it. Now, I want to use the 10th verse tonight, and I want to show you what the Word of God does in your heart. You see, if we will plant the Word of God, sow the Word of God in our hearts, it will bring a harvest. It'll do something in your life. I've told you, you can't hang around with somebody without having them rub off on you. You will pick up little mannerisms. You'll pick up little things that they do, little things that they say. You cannot hang around somebody for any length of time without it impacting you in some way. And I promise you, believer, once you get to where you're in a daily regimen of reading the Bible, where the Word of God is daily sown in your heart, I promise you, it's going to do some wonderful things in your life. It will bring a harvest. Folks, listen, think about the simplicity of Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my what? Heart, that I might not sin against thee. You say, I just can't seem to get victory over this, or I just can't seem to get my thought life where it should be, or I just can't seem to do this or do that. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm really convinced that much of our problems, many of our problems, most of our problems, I realize that there are some folks that have physical problems. I understand that. Don't go out of here and mad at me. You just don't know what I'm facing. Well, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about most of our problems are nothing more than sin problems. And what we would need to do is get in the Word of God, and if we get in the Word, it'll bring a harvest in our lives. And it will help us in our relationship with the Lord. Now, in this passage, the Lord speaks of rain and snow and uses it to make an analogy and a comparison to how the Word of God affects us. Look at your Bible, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, look at the first part of verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So the Lord is going to, in this passage, speak of rain and snow and make an analogy and a comparison to how the Word of God affects us. Let's evaluate the statements that are made. There are several things that the prophet tells us here about rain and snow, and we can see the parallels if you think about them for just a moment. First of all, look at verse 10, look at your Bible. The rain and the snow come from heaven. The rain and the snow come from heaven. Folks, man has nothing to do with the rain and the snow. You might remember reading in the book of Job one time. Once Job's three friends got through with him, God came along and started to speak and give some encouragement to Job. And God asked Job two rhetorical questions. First of all, God said, Job, hast thou entered into the treasuries of the snow? Now, what was God saying? What did he mean? Well, God was asking him this. Do you understand snow? Do you understand it? Do you know where it comes from? Can you analyze the crystallization of moisture and how it forms and how it falls? Do you understand all of that, Job? And of course, Job, he didn't have a clue. He didn't know. He just knew that when it was cold, it snowed, and when it was not cold enough, it rained. But he didn't understand all the intricacies about it and what caused it and the fronts coming through and radar and high pressure and low pressure. He didn't understand all that. He didn't know all about that. And then God asked him a second question. God asked Job, hath the rain a father? Hath the rain a father? Now, you and I would understand this question this way. Job, are you able to generate rain? Can you make it rain? And of course, the answer is no. And so with those questions in mind, let me again read to you what verse 10 says. It says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven." From heaven. The point is, folks, the Word of God is a message from God. It's not a book that was written by men. It was inspired of God. Yes, God used men to write it, just like He uses men to preach it, but it was inspired by God, not by man. It is never a philosophy formulated by human wisdom. It is always a revelation. This that you have is the Word of God. The Bible is something declared by God that man could never have discovered alone. We would have never been able to figure out justification if we had not had it revealed for us in the Scripture. We would never understand heaven and hell if we had not had it revealed for us in the Scripture. We would never be able to understand sin and all of its consequences and effects. We would never be able to just figure all that out from human reasoning. It was God that spoke and gave us this understanding. Now, none of you were here when creation took place. There may be one or two that knew somebody that was here when creation... You know, I got a few folks in mind that I'm looking at right now wearing a purple shirt. But you weren't here. How do you know where we all came from? God told us. You see the point? God's the one that told us. So the point is, the Word of God is a message from God. And God, on every page, has stamped His name all over this book. It unveils for us who God is. It tells us about His nature. It tells us about His essence. It tells us about His glory, His power, His grace, His love, His mercy, His justice. All of it we find out as we read the Word of God. Now, secondly, look at your Bible. The Bible here makes another statement. This one... I had to really do some digging of thinking to get this one. I think I got it, though. Look at it. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven," watch this, "and returneth not thither." Returneth not thither. Now, what's that mean? Well, the rain comes down, it hits the earth, and it's absorbed into the earth. In other words, God sends the rain. And there's a purpose behind it, because He sends it to water the earth. The rain and the snow pour themselves out upon the earth, and then in no time, the earth absorbs them, and in no time, the dust is blowing all over again, and you're looking for more rain. We can get a rain in the summertime, and then it can be a gully washer, but then the next day, we're all standing around saying, "Boy, it sure is dry, isn't it?" The rain comes down and it absorbs into the earth. The snow, we can get a foot of snow, and in the next day it can get 42 degrees and the sun come out and it can melt that snow in no time flat. What's the point? What's God saying? It would almost seem like rain and snow, gifts from heaven, had been poured out upon the earth to be spoiled, to be soiled, to be contaminated or to be wasted. And so it is with the Word of God. The Word of God has been given to mankind in figure, in type, in symbol, in prophecy, in song, in poetry, and ultimately in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, since Jesus came 2,000 years ago, the Word of God has been given in explanation and exposition and of what Jesus came to do. And now, for some 2,000 years, now the Word of God has been preached and proclaimed all around the world. And yet, just like this, rains and the snow come, and then they're gone. All of this has come from God, and yet the world still lies in spiritual darkness. How often have we thought that all of this preaching of the Word has just been wasted effort? We have witnessed and preached the gospel, and then we've heard folks say, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to believe on Jesus and be saved. And as the snow and rain is from heaven, but it returneth not hither. Folks, let me tell you, sometimes you get a little discouraged. Sometimes you go to talk to your family and they'll say, I'm not interested in it. I don't want anything to do with that. And you might get a little discouraged and you might think, oh, what's the use? Folks, I want you to know the Word of God is as rain from heaven. It is as snow that comes from God that waters the earth and does eventually bring forth the harvest. Don't get weary in well-doing. You may sow the seed in somebody's heart and it may lie dormant for a long time. But you keep on sowing and you keep on praying and you keep on trying to win them to Christ, and eventually you're going to see some fruit come. My mother prayed for my dad for 17 years. She left him tracts on the table. She put tracts in his lunch. Yeah. She put gospel tracts in his lunch. She'd get those little comic book tracts because she knew that he'd sit down and read the whole thing until he was done with it. She put the Word of God all over our house. Why did she do that? I think my mom understood something that maybe a lot of us don't, and that is that the Word of God is like rain and snow, and it just keeps raining, and it just keeps snowing, and eventually a harvest comes as a result. Now, it may take a while. It may start snowing in October and snow all the way through to April, but eventually the snow is going to do its job, and the greenery is going to bounce out of the ground. You've got to keep sowing the seed. Look at the third thing. He said it watereth the earth. Lest we get discouraged by thinking of the many who are not benefited by the Word that we share and give them, we have to realize that for sure, at least, it's benefited us. Amen. You heard it, and it did some work in your life. You can go out back here and you can look at the fields that are on the across the way, and you can realize that all that nasty snow we had this winter and all that cold rain we had this spring, all of it was for a purpose. It was for a reason. And soon May came along, and all of a sudden the ground began to wake up. And nature burst forth. And it was all because of that cold and that rain that we had this past winter and this past spring. That's what caused the flowers and the grass to burst forth. Dear friend, the Word of God does the same thing in the human heart. Within every person is the capacity to hear, to believe, and to be benefited to the place where God's fruit can be seen in our lives. Oh, listen, I know there are those that will not hear. I know there are those who will not benefit from the Word. But thank God we've got a whole room full of people here tonight who are fruit for God. Amen. There is within the heart of every person the potential to know God. But you will not know Him apart from the Word. The only way to know God is through the pardon and forgiveness of sin, and the only way to learn that is through the Scriptures. Man, I thank God for every Bible verse, every billboard that, I mean, I'll be driving down the road and there'll be a billboard that'll say, have John 3:16 written on it. I go buy somebody's car and they'll have a Bible verse for a bumper sticker. And I'll drive by and see that Bible verse and I say, Amen! Why? Because that's water and snow. That's what that is. You don't know who's going to pass that car and be carrying a burden and a load of sin. And all of a sudden they drive by and they look down and they see maybe a verse that their mother put in their heart 25, 30 years ago. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts dealing and working in their life and convicting. You don't know what kind of fruit's going to come as a result of that. Ella, had a man come to me this morning. He's been coming to church here. I'm not pointing him out to you. He's here tonight also. Came up to me this morning and said, "Pastor, I was saved at Camp Nicodemus years ago as a child. Now he's coming to church and growing like a weed." You see, the Word does the job. It's the Word that does the job. You just got to keep sowing the Word. You just got to keep giving the Word. Why? Because the Word of God is like rain and snow. It is eventually going to bring a harvest somewhere along the way. You just got to stay with it. You say, "Well, Pastor, I have a hard time sometimes understanding the Bible." Well, you told me to read Isaiah 55 this morning, and I read it, and I tell you, I didn't get a whole lot out of it. Oh, maybe not the first time you read it, but the second time, the third time, the fifth time, the 20th time. Hey, listen, you just got to keep reading it. Why don't you master John 3 before you go to Isaiah 55? You see what I'm saying? There are things in here you can understand. But don't stop, ever stop sowing the seed in the Word of God. I got an email this week from a preacher up in Connecticut. And he said, Dear Dr. Belcher, I have put together a website for my church family. And he said the Lord has opened doors for us and to expand and do this and do that through our website. And I've listened to several of your sermons on the internet. He said, "Can I have your permission to download your sermons, put them on my website, and make them available through the advertising that we do here at our church?" I emailed him right back. I said, "Brother, go for it. Go for it." Why? Pouring out the rain and the snow, that's why. I mean, you're getting the Word of God out there. Who cares? Who cares how you do it? Do it on your website. Do it on your website. Do it on your website. Just get the Word out there. That's all we care about. "Pastor, can we send the sermons to the soldiers?" Of course. So I write a little letter that we're going to put in the box. And I said, "After you listen to this, give it to others and let them listen to it. Rain and snow. Send the rain and snow everywhere. That's what's needed to make a heart produce fruit." There's a fourth statement here. Look at it. It says that it maketh it bring forth and bud. You know, we still say it today, don't we? April showers bring. Yeah, exactly. We still say it today. After the snow of winter and the rain of spring, the earth comes alive with growth. You got saved because of the Word. The Word of God is how you saw your need and then how you saw the solution to your need, the Lord Jesus. Peter said it this way, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It maketh it bring forth." That's what the Word of God does. It brings forth life. You got saved because of the Word of God. But the next line says, "and bud." I thought this would be an interesting word, so I looked it up. And you know, sure enough, it was. It's the Hebrew word to sprout. To sprout. You get saved and then you start sprouting. You start growing. You get a little something here, a little something there. You come and listen to a message and you get a little bit of fuel through that message, and then you'll come and you'll read a piece of the sword of the Lord, or you'll get a hold of a Christian book, and all you do, you just keep on day after day, and what happens? You start sprouting. You know, most of you, when you first got saved, you didn't come back to church on Sunday night. But after a while, you felt the Lord convicting you about that, and then all of a sudden you shocked your whole family when you said, "Hey, by the way, we're going back to church tonight." And you started coming on Sunday night. But you didn't come on Wednesday night, and then after a little while, all of a sudden, you started getting under conviction about Wednesday night, and now you come on Wednesday night. What is that? You're sprouting. That's what you're doing. You're growing. You're budding. Every born-again believer has within them the seeds that can bring forth some beautiful fruit for the glory of God. Every single one of us. Oh, listen, that's why you need to just read your Bible every day. The rain and the snow makes the earth sprout and bud and respond with a harvest. And the Word of God sown in our hearts will make us respond with a harvest. Then finally, there's two things here. He said that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, what is this harvest for? Look at your Bible, folks. Let me make sure you get this. Look at it. It says, but it shall accomplish, or I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. Verse 10, it says, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, question. We got a lot of farmers in here. What's the harvest for? You say, well, it's for the sustenance of human life. Wait a minute. The first part of this says it is seed to the sower, and then the second part says it's bread for the eater. You see, if you gather up all the harvest and then you eat it all, it's all gone. You don't have anything for next year to plant in the ground. Nod your heads. All right? So, bread to the eater is not the first thing. The first thing is the harvest of the Word of God, or in the harvest of the Word of God, is so the sower can have seed. If the sower doesn't continually have seed, he'll eventually run out of bread. Bread to the eater is a secondary thing. Bread to the eater is provision for the toiler that he might continue his sowing and reap his harvest. Folks, the Word of God taking hold on a human life makes a new wealth of seed that can be scattered somewhere else. Isn't that what you found in your life? You got saved and then you told somebody and then they told somebody else and then somebody else told somebody else. And eventually, several people got saved. That's what Paul was talking about when he told the Philippian jailer thou shalt be saved and thy house. Get the man saved, you're not going to have any trouble reaching the rest of the family. That's what he was saying. That's exactly what he was saying. We keep sowing seed, but notice, it's also bread to the eater. Don't forget, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. By the Word of God, by the Word of God is life sustained, both in health and strength. And I'm then enabled to do what God has called me to do. Now, folks, this Bible, it's like it'll produce a harvest. Now, it'll produce a harvest. But now, what we've got to do is we've got to realize we've got to read it. Let's examine the symbolism here. There's a couple of things this teaches me. Let me give you these and I'll quit. First of all, the Word of God is purposeful. When it rains and snows, God knows what He's doing. It doesn't rain and snow for nothing. God knows what He's doing. Rain and snow do not come up on the earth to display their own wonder, they come for a purpose. And folks, the Word of God is not given to be possessed. It is given so that it may possess. It's too big for any of us to possess. Its purpose is that it might possess us. The truth must hold us, wrap us, change the way we think and perceive things. Its purpose is to make me, to mold me, to fashion me into the image of God's dear Son. Let me say it this way. This is a wonderful book. But you sit down and start reading this book, and there's too much here for your little mind to absorb and mine. You'll start blowing fuses. Man, you'll be reading. You say, "What in the world does that mean? My goodness, what's that?" And if you do start in Genesis, time you get over to the begats, and those names are that long, you're going to be scratching your head. But you know, if you as a Christian go over there to John chapter 3 and John chapter 1, and you start taking those little Bible nuggets that are one-syllable words, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when you start thinking on that and dwelling on that and hiding that Word in your heart, all of a sudden the Spirit of God who now lives within you, who is the author of this book, by the way, don't you think the author knows what the book says? And all of a sudden now you've got those little nuggets that you're storing in your heart. And the Spirit of God comes and He illuminates and opens your understanding. Folks, listen, every time you read the book, it is with the idea that God has something for you. It is with the idea that God says, here is a truth from my Word. Here is something I want you to know, I want you to see. But here's what I wanted to do. I want it to possess you, not you possess it. It's too big for you to possess. But if you will surrender to that Word, to that truth, it'll just run your life. It'll just run your life. Folks, oh my soul. This is just too vast for me to even consider. I think I told you this before. I'll close with this. I promise I'm going to close. There's just too much here. Listen, let me tell you this and I'll close. I grew up down in the mountains of West Virginia, and I was taught the way of the mountains by my family. We grew up with this. If someone hits you, you knock their head off. Oh, yeah. I grew up with, if someone hits you with a stick, you go get a tree and beat the tar out of them. You one-up them no matter what. I mean, you know, that was drilled into my head. I got a whipping one time because I did not fight. But I didn't want to fight this guy. He's bigger than me. And my brother went home and said, he didn't fight. My dad said, you didn't fight? And I said, no, why not? I said, because Mike's bigger than me. Our neighbor, Mike Dykstra, huge kid. And I was about 9 years old, 8, 9 years old. I wasn't going to get my head beat up. And my dad said, you get out there and defend yourself. My mother said, don't make him go fight. My dad said, he's either going to go fight or he's going to get a whooping right here. I said, oh boy, no matter how, I'm going to get a whooping. It don't make any difference. So I went out and I fought him. You know what I did? I beat him up. I don't know how it happened. But I went home, boy, I was proud. Dad said, how'd you do? I said, just got a busted lip. That's all I got. You got to see him. I was raised that way. I almost got kicked out of Bob Jones the first day I was there because I got into a fight. Playing basketball. I stole the ball going in for a layup, and this guy undercuts me, and I flipped and landed on my back with the ball in my hand. And when he went by me, he went like that, just ran by me. I jumped up. I went running down the court. I said, hey, and he turned around, and I knocked him in the head with that ball as hard as I could hit him. Pooh, he went out. Blood everywhere. Wait a minute. God called me to preach. God called me to pastor. You boys better line up. God called me to pastor. I can't pastor with a temper. My soul, one of my deacons comes in and says, pastor, I said, well, let's go. Can't do that. How do you get that stuff out of you? You bury yourself in this book until it possesses those areas of your life. And folks, I honestly mean this. You could walk up to me. Don't you dare do it. You could walk up to me and say anything in the world. You could spit on me. You could curse me. You could slap me. I won't retaliate. I just won't do it. No way. Don't have that in me anymore. I haven't been mad since this morning. Let it possess you. As the rain and the snow. You can't go out there and say, okay, we've got enough rain, stop. All right, that's enough snow, stop. It's from heaven. And folks, what you want to do is just get in your heavenly word here. God's preserved eternal word. Get in the word of God and let that word possess your life. It'll change you. It'll mold you and fashion you and make you into what Jesus would have you be. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have a Bible. And Lord, we can trust it. And I pray that you'll give us a burdened heart for getting in the Bible and reading it and letting it possess us. Lord, too many of us possess it. We just have it and we carry it from here and there and we lay it down. But Lord, we need to hide it in our hearts so that it possesses us. And you said in the next verse, it will not return void. It will bring a harvest. Lord, there are people here tonight that are dealing with things in their hearts. They're dealing with sin or the effects of sin. They're dealing with trouble in their lives, in their minds. And Lord, all this could be fixed if we just allow the right things to take their place and let the Word of God and the truths of God's Word possess our hearts. Lord, may Jesus speak clearly to our hearts tonight and show us our need of getting daily into the Word of God. Oh, Father, speak to hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.